Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, areas of patchy morning fog, partly cloudy skies this morning, with occasional showers maybe this afternoon. We'll have a high today around the mid-60s. Kenosha, 58 degrees at this hour. It's 59 in Burlington. In Milwaukee, 59, 58 also in Racine. They both agree that the public doesn't want it and that the city can't afford it. But the two candidates for mayor in Racine during the final NAACP-sponsored forum still jabbed at each other on the issue, which remains part of the budget and city planning process, at least for now. Before a crowd of more than 100 at the King Center, including many supporters of both candidates, State Representative Corey Mason said it's time to close the arena chapter and move on, while calling it a dead issue, despite what some of the aldermen have been saying about it being their decision to make.
And I will say this, I think I am in a better position to convince my colleagues on City Council to give up the ghost on City Council and move on. It costs too much money, there's no private investment involved, and people don't support it. And for the aldermen who are still wondering, I would invite them to knock on doors once in their district for a day and ask people what they think, and they would find out that people don't support it.
Meanwhile, Alderman Sandy Widener said, "I have no doubt Mr. Mason will say that he'll veto the event center while relying on the Common Council to do the heavy lifting to continue forward."
I do not believe that two-thirds of the council are going to be willing to put their political career on the line and override a veto of phase two because they know that the majority, between 78% and 84% of the population that have been polled, are opposed to machinery or to the event center.
Widener further saying that as mayor, she'd require the administrator, development director, and finance director to sign a pledge about resigning if the Phase 2 arena funding could not be secured. Corey Mason said to Widener, "I know you'd really wanted to run against John Dickert, but I'm not the previous mayor, and that's not what this race is about." The winner of Tuesday's election to serve out the rest of Dickert's term beginning November 7th up until April 2019. I-94 is going to be widened to 8 lanes in Racine County beginning in 2019. The long-delayed project back on the front burner because of the Foxconn manufacturing plant going into Mount Pleasant, which abuts that stretch of the interstate. Plans call for not only a reconstruction and resurfacing, but also the extra lane in each direction from College Avenue in Milwaukee County south to Highway 142 in Kenosha County, plus rebuilding interchanges and frontage roads. Between 500 and 1,000 job applications already have been received for the still-to-be-built Foxconn complex in Mount Pleasant. That's according to recruiter Jonathan Sharp, representing the Taiwanese company during the second informational meeting held at Racine's Memorial Hall. Sharp says the first hires are expected to be assigned to a temporary production and training facility off the village's Highway 20 Industrial Park that'll open well ahead of the permanent complex.
I personally think it is due to the opportunity to get started with a startup of a facility, ground floor. You can be that person that's got the high seniority. You get to see it grow, develop. The opportunities are going to grow as the days pass by.
Most of the applicants with good qualifications, he said, are from Wisconsin. He also thinks that most people are motivated by a desire for advancing careers.
It surprises me from the sense of I would have thought we would have got more applicants from outside of Wisconsin. So it's pleasing to me to see as many resumes as we've got from the Wisconsin residents.
Groundbreaking on that massive complex expected in about a year. Operations starting 4 years after that, and over time, Foxconn and Mount Pleasant could employ up to 13,000 people. Now, Foxconn's got a very successful operation in Asia, and to simply bring it over here to the U.S., specifically Mount Pleasant, to do the same thing would seemingly make no sense, unless it is to reach the next level or to do something completely different than what we are doing so successfully in Asia. That according to Louis Wu, the special assistant to Foxconn chairman Terry Goh. Wu notes that the wages here in the U.S. are 4 to 6 times higher than what the company pays in Asia, and U.S.-made products will have to go beyond televisions to what the company calls the 8K plus 5G ecosystem. BizTimes, quoting Wu, is saying, we will be looking at a lot of domain experts to build vertical solutions on top of this hardware platform, suggesting that there are opportunities also in medicine, advanced manufacturing, education, retail, even autonomous driving. Wu telling Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce members, quote, "There are so many areas, so many domains, we will need help. We will need all of you and many more in the state of Wisconsin and even beyond." Well, with more sediment and materials to be removed from the Lincoln Park Lagoon in Kenosha than originally believed, additional funding is being recommended for that work, and Racine's A.W. Oakes & Son is going to get the contract. The item is on the agendas of the Kenosha Public Works and Stormwater Utility Committees, both scheduled to meet at the same time in the same room at the Municipal Building on Monday, just ahead of the City Council meeting. The Finance Committee resolution calls for amending the 2016 Capital Improvement Program with the use of $220,000 in outside funding, a total project cost of just under $331,000. And the chief executive officer of Milwaukee-based WEC Energy Group, the parent of We Energies, Alan Leverett, he's hospitalized after suffering a stroke. And until he can recover and resume his duties, former CEO Gail Klappa, who had retired in May of last year, is going to be handling those duties. The 51-year-old Leverett joined Wisconsin Energy in 2003 as chief financial officer. The 67-year-old Klappa led WEC and its predecessor, Wisconsin Energy Corporation, from 2004 until mid-2016 when Leverett succeeded him. Well, without any fanfare or formal ceremony, work is underway now at Racine's Pritchard Park on the city's far southwest side for the more than $6 million S.E. Johnson Community Aquatic Center. The grading and site work began the activity this week. It's going to be ongoing through the park throughout the fall, the winter, and the spring. The goal? Opening up that facility by early summer next year. S.E. Johnson, of course, donating $6.5 million to fund that public aquatic center. The Racine County Facebook page, facebook.com/Racine County, will be having updates as the construction moves forward. No naming rights involved. The only cost going to be the sign to go out front of the former Curtin Clinic building at 2333 Northwestern Avenue that Racine Unified bought last year, designating it to be called the Community Pathways Campus. That is the recommendation by staff to the Board of Education for next Monday night's meeting, the only action item on the business agenda. The facility houses various alternative education programs for the district, along with the Racine Employee Health and Wellness Clinic. Staff in the building suggested it be called Racine Education and Health Campus or Center. Students recommended Center for Pathway to Independence. The Racine Unified School Board to vote Monday on whether to accept Community Pathways Campus. Racine Common Council next week going to be voting on the creation of a due process board to hear appeals on nuisance properties and eventually liquor license appeals for non-renewal. Public Safety and Licensing Committee Chairman Jeff Coe and his colleagues hearing from Assistant City Attorney New Tran that the language is now set.
We didn't ask for any changes, so I didn't change anything. So this is just a second hearing for the ordinance to actually go through.
When it gets voted on this time, we're done, correct?
Right. It won't go back before the committee. It'll just go in front of Common Council, right. And then the publication is after that.
The due process board consists of four citizen members, one alderman not from the committee, and one non-voting member of the Tavern League of Wisconsin, all to be appointed by the mayor, subject to approval by the full council. A home health aid worker with kindred at home in the Racine area, one of three national winners of the company's Paul Diaz Caring Award, named after the company's former chief executive officer, who is currently on the board of directors. Annette Jerkowitz honored for demonstrating an extraordinary level of skill, compassion, and empathy while caring for patients and residents for Kindred at Home Racine, located on Bankers Road in Mount Pleasant. She's been with the company more than 32 years, and according to Kindred at Home Racine Executive Director Kristen Perry, a true example of our care matters. The other Caring Award winners for Kindred at Home coming from California and also from Kentucky. Well, recent changes in the weather, coupled with the earlier-than-normal leaf cleanup that's been going on for weeks now, suggesting it could be a rather interesting winter season here in southeast Wisconsin. The Old Farmer's Almanac predicting, though, mild, wet conditions, at least for the most part. Here's WRJN's Janet Hoff.
Kenosha, Racine, Milwaukee fall into the Lower Lakes forecast region with a summary that calls for warmer than normal temperatures and above normal precipitation. The coldest times will be early to mid-December, early January, and mid-February. The snowiest periods are predicted to be early to mid-December, along with late in the month, plus early January and February. The only variable is a sliver of mild and snowy weather that could extend from Michigan to cover the western shore of Lake Michigan, leaving the door open for our famous lake effect snowfalls. If we survive the winter, the Old Farmer's Almanac is predicting next April and May will be warmer and slightly drier than normal. And if you're already planning the summer of 2018, FOA says hotter and drier than normal. The Almanac does this forecasting nationwide with a 77.8% accuracy on temperatures last winter and 83% on precipitation. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
So there. WRJN.com. That's our webpage. We keep our newscast in the local news section and throughout the day at WRJN News. That'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Cargo, WRJN News.